Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everybody. May 18th, 2014. No, it's not 2015. Yes, it is. I had an interesting weekend. I heard a great sermon preached Sunday. Oh wait, that was me. No, I'm just kidding. I actually heard two great sermons. One on Sunday, and I did preach on Sunday. And I hope it was very helpful to people. Helped me. But there were two great sermons I heard on Sunday, and one was Sunday afternoon. Actually, not on Sunday. I heard another one this morning. So in the last 2 days. Jonathan Falwell, who I never really, Jerry Falwell, his dad was way before my time, actually when he was really starting to get popular before I was a Christian. I was a worldly person when he was really in his heyday. But now I listen to his son, and they're a very, very staunch, Thomas Road Baptist Church. And I watched the service and listened to him preach, and I was just enamored. I was floored. It was awesome, brought to tears. Their worship leader was singing. He's got a phenomenal voice, but even more than that, you just see the love and mercy that's in his life. And then Guy Penrod came on and joined him and sang with him. And I was in tears. I mean, I just, quite honestly. And then the message was just absolutely authentic and awesome. And he was about his mother. And he was talking about his mom. And then basically what it boiled down to at the end is all of us should be those kind of people, the way it is in Proverbs 31, talks about, from verse 10 through the end, 31, verse 10 through 31, we should be that way, that we should be willing to work and diligent, and that people should be able to be, blessing us and calling us blessed and praising us and saying, that's the kind of person I want to be. We should all be that way. And then I just listened, and I want to pump again for you to go. Let's see, I wrote that down somewhere. I don't have to write it down. It's Pastor Robert Morris of Gateway Church in Texas. And go and listen to his message that was just this last Sunday. Phenomenal. Outstanding. Unbelievable. I don't want to steal any of his thunder. So if you're listening to me, then please go listen to his message. It's about 30 minutes. a little bit more. It is awesome. It's about healing. It's just awesome. He's getting ready to go on his sabbatical. He goes on a sabbatical every year. And I just haven't heard him preach in a while. And it was really refreshing. And again, I just go listen to him. Gateway Church in Texas, South Lake, Texas. They have many campuses around there, but the original church is there in South Lake. And very personable, very cool. They're a charismatic church, but they're serious, and they're not hyper weird. Well, they're not weird at all. You just need to go and listen to the message. But I want to cover just a few minutes here about something interesting. And one thing Robert did was covered some pretty controversial things in some churches. And this is controversial because people that I'm going to talk about for a few minutes here, people don't want to talk about these things. For the most part, you're not going to go to many churches and hear sermons from the book of Revelation, from the book of Daniel, from the book of Isaiah, any of the prophetic Amos, any of the books that are prophetic, and especially the apocalyptic aspect of the book of Revelation. Now, there are some churches you can go to, and that's all you'll hear about. But that is problematic, because we need mercy, we need grace, we need healing, we need refreshing, we need encouragement, we need praise, we need worship. But we also need to be prepared at all times. And I just want to read a couple scriptures to you out of chapter 13. If you want to take a book of the Bible and then take a chapter by chapter, but this chapter itself is an interesting chapter, and you should probably read it 30 or 40 or 50 times or 60 or 80 times. Chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, just read it maybe 100 times, 150 times. And don't focus on every little thing and try to get every word and go to a lexicon and go, do the Greek and know this and then translate it into the Hebrew and back into the English. If you want to do that someday, whatever, just read it. just read it and understand a couple of things about it as you're reading it, and then read it. It's about the beast and the false prophet. It's about the Antichrist and his lieutenant. And it is going to happen. And there are going to be Christians, regardless of whether you believe in the pre-trib or post-trib or pre-rapture, or if you think we're all going before the 7 years starts, still pertinent for you to be able to teach other people. Maybe they'll hear you teach it. And if you're a pre-trib person and you believe the church that we're gone, then the people that are still here need to know this so that they can function, I guess. I don't subscribe to that, but I understand that viewpoint. I believe that the church is going to be here right through, whether it's the believers that are alive now, or this is in 10 years or 40 years or a year. I don't know. But there is a seven-year period coming, such as the earth has never known. So it's important whether you're pre-trib or post-trib, okay? Whether you're before the 7 years or after the 7 years, wherever you stand there, and let's begin an argument about that. Let's just say this is pertinent no matter what. But something's really stage-wise being set now, and this is what I want to talk about. There's an article about the war on cash, and I just want to bring that up before I read these scriptures to you. Well, I'm going to read the scriptures first because the scripture's more important. Revelation chapter 13. And this is speaking about the lieutenant, the false prophet, who stands up and does everything for the Antichrist. And it says in chapter 13, verse 16, and he, meaning the false prophet, who is the lieutenant of the Antichrist, he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. Some of your translations say in your right hand or in your forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, let's not get into 666 stuff and all that. Let's just, those two verses, those are pretty important verses. That is going to happen. Now, let me give you a little background. It's interesting. I just found this out today, and it really shocked me. This comes from an article that came out this morning, and I want to give credit to the guy that wrote it, but I cannot find his name anywhere other than Todd. So since he doesn't put his last name, it's Todd. But it's interesting what he wrote here for the historical aspect of this. Listen, there once was a time in America when it was not all that uncommon for people to purchase a new or used car with cash. We've done it. My wife and I have done that. Today, it has become almost impossible for someone to use paper money to buy any type of powered vehicle. Most people blame inflation for making cash impractical. The average cost of a car in 1970 was $3,000. That meant that you could get a car for $1,500 and you also get a car for $6,000 or $7,000. To the current average, right now, the current average of a vehicle is $35,000. I want to stop and say this. I was looking at, like, trucks, like two, like a bench seat truck, you know, just one little cab, not those crew cabs or anything. And if you get it with normal stuff that normal cars have today, not try to strip it down, but get it normal things, you're going to pay, you know, $40,000 or $50,000. You might get it down to about $38,000 or $39,000. And if you strip them down and get them as low as you can, when you're all done, you're about $32,000. So I think that's a little low, but an average cost of $35,000 for a car. And in 1970, it was $3,000. That's pretty weird. Well, the real reason you can't use cash today is because the government has been slowly clamping down the availability of large notes. Right now, the highest denomination produced by the Department of Treasury is a $100 bill. There was a time when banks had available $500 bills, $1,000 bills, $5,000, and $10,000 notes. In the 1800s, there were a variety of $1,000 notes in circulation. And that's an amazing thing to think that back then in the 1800s, $1,000 was a lot of money. It could be like an annual wage. So you could have a $1,000 bill stashed away in a very small place, and that could be a huge nest egg. Today, I mean, could you imagine having a nest egg poked away in $10 or $20 bills or even $100 bills? It'd be rough. Here's what's interesting. This guy, Todd, has a friend who deals with rare currency and paper money and coins, and he said that large notes are now worth more than their face value. A $500 note is worth around $750. The $1,000 notes are worth around $1,900. If you can find the $5,000 notes, which means it's going to cost you $5,000 for it, they're worth $50,000. And if you find a $10,000 note, some have been valued as high as $125,000. So you have a $10,000 note. If you could find one and pay it at face value, you could find a collector, a numismatic guy, and if it's the right caliber and the right condition, it could bring $125,000. Now, isn't it funny? You give them a $10,000 bill, and at the Treasury it's only worth $10,000. And they'll give you $125,000 $1 bills. That's an amazing process there. That's a huge increase. Well, what that does is, obviously, people aren't just going to be walking around with volumes of dollars with ones and fives and tens. And since they're only, you know, doing hundreds, they're not doing these big ones, they're limiting the amount of money that's out there. And they've retired large notes. But the reason they said, well, we can, you know, think about drug money, you know, and then money laundering, and even terrorist activity. They say, if you have to have all these 10s and 20s and 30s, it makes it very difficult to move around. But if you could have $10,000 notes and you want to move, you know, $100,000 somewhere, you only have to have how many of these notes? 10,000. 10 of them. That, you could put that in your wallet. You could put $100,000 in your wallet like that. Nobody even see it. Nobody even know it. Unless you've moved some money around before. We brought money into, me and three other guys brought money into Albania. And if you have more than $10,000, you have to declare it if you're traveling with it. So all of us had just under $10,000, and we had it stashed around in our body, in our socks, in our shoes, in our clothes. It's a difficult thing to stack that kind of coin. But if you had a note, one piece of paper, it'd be easy to do. So that's what they're saying. But in all reality, it's a little bit different. If you look at it, and it sets the stage for some pretty interesting things, especially when you look back to this scripture. He causes all, the great and the small, the rich and the poor, the free and the slaves, to be given a mark on their hand or their forehead. And if you do not have that mark, you will not buy or sell. You cannot buy or sell. You cannot get involved in commerce. You won't be able to buy food, you won't be able to buy gas, you won't be able to pay your mortgage payment or any of those kind of things. Now, here's what's interesting. You know, I have money come from the Veterans Administration, and we have money come from Social Security. We never see it. I've never seen dollars. It just, at one point I had one check come from the VA, but now it's just all direct deposit. Everything's direct deposit. And with direct deposit, you never see any cash. You never see fives or tens or $50 bills, or you don't see any bills. It's all electronic. If you look at what's going on and think about what if this was actually available, this kind of stuff was available in 1930. Well, if we had a 100% electronic system, then you could never hide anything from any kind of federal oversight. It says here, if Adolf Hitler had the technology we have today, he would have used it against the French underground, the Jews, and everyone who had plotted his downfall, including Bonhoeffer and all the others. It would have been, I don't even know, we'd probably be speaking German right now, if you stop and think about that. Because he was using everything he could. So it gets into the wrong hands, it gets in for the wrong reason. It's really, really bizarre. Overseas right now, there's a limit on euros and what you can do with euros. Here's the deal. Residents, French have implemented this. The residents can only make cash payments of more than 1,000 euros down from the previous 3,000. You can only do cash 1,000. Foreign tourists can only receive payments of 10,000 euros. Used to be 15,000. Any cash deposit or withdrawal of more than 10,000 euros during a single month will be reported to the French Anti-Fraud and Money Laundering Agency. And any freight transfers within the European Union exceeding a value of 10,000 euros must be reported to French authorities. Greece is struggling right now with bankruptcy, as many other countries are really struggling, and they're doing this, and they're putting the hammer down on all this. And we look at that and go, that's really, really weird. That's really, really weird. Because a cashless society can be promoted to prevent bad stuff from happening. You see? So it looks good. But when we look into the scriptures, we see something else. We see a stage being set. So if you get an opportunity, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13 and read about the beast and read about his prophet. Read about what they're going to do. Don't get into a super deep study on the rest of the Bible. You can do that, you know, if you want. But just study this for a while, because I think that we need to be prepared for some of the things we're going to see. And we are, and whether it's us going to see them, or we, it may be 20 or 30 years from now, 50 years, if it's 100 years from now, 150 years from now, everyone listening to me right now or in the next couple of days, we're going to be gone. We'd be dead. We're not going to live to be 250, 200 years old. So, but if it happens in the next 5 or 10 years, probably everybody listening to me is going to be experiencing this in one form or another. And I think we need to be ready, not freaked out. If you don't know anything about this, then, and it could be promoted as something really cool, you know, like this, I mean, there's a watch. A lot of the people referring to the Apple Watch as the beast. Interestingly enough, it's on the back of your wrist. You can do everything with your watch. There's so much of that stuff, and I'm not building some weird hyper weirdness. I'm just saying people are being, it's all being dumbed down, and we're being conditioned. And understand that the enemy of our souls is going to be doing this stuff. It is going to happen. And so I think we need to be ready for it. I think we need to be waiting for the things to happen and say, you know what, I think we need to pay attention. I always think we need to pay attention, but we need to pay attention even more now. So an encouragement is, go listen to Robert Morris's message today. It's about Jesus being the physician. It's called The Physician. If you're looking for it on his site, Gateway Church, I think it's gateway.com. I'm not sure. That might be the Bible. There's a Gateway Bible program. So look for Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas, Robert Morris, Pastor Robert Morris, The Physician, talking about Jesus being a physician. And then go listen to Jonathan Falwell in his message just last week of Mother's Day. And it just, the two messages that just really encourage you, from the worship time to the message itself. And what we'll do is we'll see you guys here tomorrow. I've got to leave a little early, got to get some things done. But we will see you guys here tomorrow, the 19th, at 11 o'clock. So until then, keep preaching. Bye.